Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Good morning. Thanks, Pastor Peter. Thanks for the prayer time. That's really great. Good to minister together. We're talking about spiritual gifts this morning. I thought it was great to be able to pray for one another. That's awesome. And we're in this series called Life in the Spirit. And there should be life in church, hey? I mean, you know, like, God is a God of life, and so it's good to have life, good to have kids running, good to have prayer, good to have vitality. Pastor Dave is away, so he's in the Okanagan, he's preaching, and a couple weeks ago, he said some things about me when I was away. And I know the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But, no, I was joking. He's away. And it all had to do with this silly little feud between his hockey team, the Vancouver Canucks, and mine, the Edmonton Oilers. And so I think he's sad. I think he's maybe a little embarrassed that the Oilers... Who put that up? Where did that come from? So anyway... I think he's maybe just a little discouraged. So you send him a text, saying, hey, it's okay. There's always next year, the year after that, and the year after that, the year after that. So anyway, there you go. If you do want to tune in tonight at 5:30, the prayer meeting and the worship night is your first priority. But Edmonton's playing the Dallas Stars at the same time, so... no one's going to know if you got your app and just go, oh, that's the score, okay. I'm not going to be doing that, but if you did, we might let you get away with it. Anyways, we're talking about being gifted by the Spirit today. And we're talking about how do we have life in the Spirit. And I want you to know that God has gifted you, He's gifted me, He's gifted the church to be His people in the world. And there's a few different passages we're going to look at. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians, looking at some teaching on spiritual gifts. So let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, saying, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every way, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. A little further down, chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So, turn to someone and say, what part of the body are you? No, you should ask. Don't tell them what you think there. So, Paul says about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. So, this is an important topic. Spiritual gifts are something valuable to know about. You may at some point have taken a spiritual gifts inventory quiz that has like a questionnaire that helps you kind of discern the things that God's put in you. You may have a clear picture of how you've been gifted to serve in the church and in the world for Jesus. And you may be here and you have no idea what I'm talking about. And there's probably a bunch of people in between. But in any case, today's going to be a very brief treatment of spiritual gifts because we're just doing one Sunday talking about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit fills us, how the Holy Spirit leads us, and now we're talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us gifts as the church. And there's four main passages that deal with spiritual gifts. We're not going to go through the list. You can do your research at home, but there are Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And these are all New Testament passages because until the day of Pentecost, till that day where the Holy Spirit was poured out, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit would only come to empower certain individuals in certain moments for certain tasks, whether it was a king or a priest or a prophet. We see in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come on Samson. The Spirit would come on the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit would come on one of the judges to do something, to do some task, to have an empowerment, to do something for God's people, to do something for God. But when Jesus came, he came full of the Spirit. The Spirit filled Jesus in, and he was empowered by God as God, and that's a whole theological discussion. But he came in the power of the Spirit and did good works and good deeds and miracles and taught and embodied the Spirit's power in the world. And then, when he died, rose again, and resurrected and ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, "Go and wait. I'm going to pour my Spirit out on you." The Spirit fell on them in that room in Acts chapter 2 and filled them with boldness, filled them with empowerment to serve Jesus, to preach, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, to speak in other tongues, to do all kinds of miracles and healing and serve. And from that moment on, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all people, on all of Christ's church. And in fulfillment of the prophecy given to Joel hundreds of years previous, you didn't have to be a king, you didn't have to be a man, you didn't have to be wealthy, you didn't have to have a position of status, but every person who confesses Christ as Lord, as a part of the church, the Holy Spirit would fill and give gifts for service. And so this was a huge change in the way God was working in the world. None of these spiritual gift lists we have are exhaustive, but they cover a whole spectrum of types of ways that the Holy Spirit gives people in the church to serve and minister. And the Holy Spirit spreading out gifts among the church is not so that we can begin a ministry of our own. It's not so we can say, "Well, my ministry, da 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 da. How's your ministry? What's your..." You know, there's this language in church circles, and it's probably more like a pastor thing to talk about my ministry. That really rubs me the wrong way, and I know why people say it, because I'm a pastor, I serve in ministry. But it's not my ministry. You know? It's not your ministry, the thing you do, the ways you serve. You know, Pastor Dave doesn't claim APA as his church or his ministry. Why? Because it isn't. Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower pastors, to empower congregants, to empower people to do his ministry in the world. And it's not about APA. It's not about the pastors. It's not about anything other than the church carrying on the ministry of Jesus in the world. That's what it is, right? We come, we gather, we worship, we have a society of people, a family, but the place isn't the thing, right? The thing that I'm doing isn't the thing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus came to do in the world. And he's saying, "Now it's your turn to do what I've been doing. So here's my Spirit. Go with my heart. Go with my power. Go bless, teach, train, proclaim. Do the things that I was doing as you." So it's not my ministry. The Holy Spirit spreads out gifts among the church to continue in his ministry. And as we're going to read, and as we have read, a primary metaphor for the church of the New Testament is that of a body, the body of Christ. Because Christ is not physically here. He's given the Spirit to fill us as a physical representation of Jesus on the earth to do good deeds. So spiritual gifts are given for the continuation of Jesus' ministry on earth through the Holy Spirit's empowerment of the church. That's our big point today. It's about carrying on Jesus' ministry. It's about you and me going, "Oh, Jesus, this is..." So we have to know Jesus. We have to know Jesus' heart, what he's about. What did Jesus do? What was his life like? And we get a passion. We get excited for when we see the world, and we see the needs, and the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, you need to do something about that. Look, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to give you this task. And we go about doing the work of Jesus. So I'm going to talk about three main points. The use of spiritual gifts in the church are about unity in our diversity. It's about serving in ministry. And it's about loving constructively. So unity and diversity. One big piece of the teaching on spiritual gifts is that there's one God, who's Father, Son, and Spirit, who has one body, the church. Ephesians chapter 4 says, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. It's a lot of ones. One, 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 one. There's unity because God is one. He's three persons, but there's one God, there's one church, there's one body, there's one Spirit who pours out. So there's this particularity of who this God is who gives gifts. It's not this idea of God or this idea of God or this idea of God. There's a particular God who's particularly made known clearly through Jesus Christ, the clearest representation of this God that we have. Many religions affirm that there's one God, right? Islam, Judaism, a lot of indigenous religions believe in the Creator. We believe in one God, but is uniquely and particularly made known through Jesus Christ. One, 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 one. But in that oneness, in that unity, there is a lot of diversity. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there's varieties. There's a whole variety of people. But one Spirit. The Spirit is all about diversity. Yeah? Like, Pentecost was about all these different nations, all these different socioeconomic places people were coming from, all being brought together and unified under one Spirit, under one God, under Jesus. And the church is a beautiful mosaic. Where did you come from? What's your view of the world? What do you do for a living? And the vision of Revelation at the end of time when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven fully is just a colorful myriad of culture being brought before the throne. All of the nations are going to come and worship at the throne together. And we are experiencing a glimpse of that today. So there's this unity among this vast diversity, and I love the diversity of our church. I love getting to know different people here who have come from a different country or have a different history, and just, it's so good. And we should always embrace that because that is the work of the Spirit, to unify us together, coming from diverse places, but unified under Christ, who is the head of the church. In this room, there are many kinds of people with many different kinds of gifts. Some are gifted with great taste, and some cheer for the Canucks. Oh boy. There are many kinds of people with many kinds of gifts. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. But each one's for the same purpose. You know? When we see people who are gifted and doing things in the church, I think often we think, oh, they got this thing going on over there. Aren't they just good at that? They got this thing. They don't have a thing. You know what I mean? Like, this, you know, in a world of celebrity pastors and celebrity, like, Christian leaders on Instagram and famous and stuff, and we just kind of go, oh, wow, look at, they're just doing some really good things over there, and they got this thing. Wow, I wish I had a thing. They don't have a thing. Jesus has a thing, right? We have a thing. And we're doing it together. Jesus has a thing. He's saving the world. He's doing it, but he's not doing it by himself. He's saying, okay, you are my people, so let's do this thing. He's done all the heavy lifting. It is finished. Now go into all the world and proclaim the good news. Do the thing. Make it known. Heal the brokenness. Restore the lost. Find the hurting. Be there. Be Jesus' skin. That's a weird thing to say. Be the physical representative of Jesus. And that's exciting, isn't it? Does it take some of the pressure off to go, I don't need to have a thing. I don't need to be like, I don't need to have a platform. I don't need to be like known for something that is significant to other people. I don't need to worry about like being like anything in particular. I just need to go and do what Jesus says would be a good thing for me to do. And I can't do it by myself. I need Jesus to help me. I need the Spirit to help me. And I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me, because we're all doing the same thing anyway. I didn't intend to say the word thing so much, but it's just coming. It's sort of like being on a team, like a sports team, even a hockey team. It's kind of like that. Sorry, it's too much. So there's a unified purpose under Christ. There's a unified purpose under Christ. Jesus is head of the body. We're the hands, the feet, the ears, the nose. And the word that we have for spiritual gifts is charismata. And it comes from the word charis, which means grace. And charismata is an operation of grace, a grace gift that's divinely given, empowerment by God to serve and bless, both in the church body and through the church body to the world. And just as Jesus shared his ministry blessings of grace and favor and blessing, so our gifts are graces, favor, blessing from God to others. And there's no competition or comparison, because a healthy body functions as a unit. An unhealthy body competes and fights against itself. An autoimmune disease in your body, your immune system usually protects you from diseases and infections, and when it senses these, it creates specific cells to target foreign cells. But when you have an autoimmune disease, such as type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, your body confuses itself for something foreign and begins to attack those cells. And so if you have type 1 diabetes, the immune system destroys insulin-producing cells in your pancreas. Rheumatoid arthritis, your immune system attacks your joints. You have MS that damages the protective coating surrounding the nerve cells. So that's an unhealthy function of the body. Like, there's something wrong if your body doesn't recognize itself and it's competing with itself or attacking itself. But a healthy body is a functions together. A healthy body, if your immune system is working properly, doesn't attack itself, it protects. And so we see each other not as a foreign entity, but as a part of the same body, connected, integrated, one, unified in our diversity as the body of Christ. We're not made up of one part, but many. The feet don't say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong. We belong. We belong to one another. You don't have to like each other. You just have to accept each other and love each other, right? If it was easy to like everybody in the church, like, we wouldn't need Jesus, would we? You know? If nobody rubbed you the wrong way, then it probably wouldn't actually be the church. It would probably be just a group of your friends. But we accept one another and we love one another because we're part of the same body. Because Jesus loves us and accepts us and serves. And so we go, this is us. We're part of the same thing. I'm not in competition with you. You can be a really good at a certain thing, and I just need to go, that's so good. So good. Celebrate each other. I used to be really insecure. When I went to Bible college, I didn't even know people went to Bible college to become pastors. I just went to Bible college because I thought, oh, that'd be good. I went to do Omega Challenge, and this one year, I was just like, I'm going to be serious about being a Christian. So I should go and learn and get a little bit more grounded in my faith. I had no idea. I was like, who am I? I started sensing a call to be a pastor. I'm like, that's not a good idea, God. And I'm not like that. I compared myself to people. And I just said, I just was like, no, God, I'm not that person. And I wonder if you've done the same thing too. You like kind of like compare yourself to other people and go, I don't know. I don't have what they have, or who am I? What am I doing? Like, I'll just let the people who have got gifts do their thing, and I'll just be over here. No. There aren't any parts of the body that aren't necessary. Like, what happens in your body if just certain parts stop functioning? You just walk with a limp? Maybe you're breathing, maybe you're surviving. But you're not flourishing, right? You're definitely not fulfilling everything that you could. So we all are necessary, and not only just necessary, but needed. And I think it's important that we see that last line that says that God has placed the different parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. You are gifted just as God wanted you to be. So what are your spiritual gifts? What are the things that God's put in you? And you might say, I don't really know. I don't know. What? Maybe I used to know, or I don't. When I was younger, I did some things, or there was a season. And something Pastor Al was sharing with me, and he's doing a class right now on spiritual gifts on our Thursday nights, is if you're not sure, then you should just probably start serving. Because once we start serving, we get activated. We get excited about certain things. The Spirit starts going, yeah. Or you go, I think I'm in the wrong ministry, you know? But you also learn where you should be, right? God activates something in our spirit. You're gifted just as you want to be. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So not only is serving about unity and diversity, it's about ministry, or serving in ministry. So serving. Use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It's about serving, right? It's about giving. It's not about me. It's not my thing. It's not my church. It's not my ministry. It's about Jesus' church. It's about Jesus' ministry. It's about what Jesus wants to do in the world. It's about what the body of Christ needs. It's about what the world needs, what people need to hear. It's about not me, right? You're needed, but it's not about you. We benefit from it. We get encouraged, and God blesses us with, but it's like happiness, right? It's a byproduct. You're just trying to be happy, you're not going to be happy. When we serve, when we bless, we experience the joy of participating with God. And it's so much richer and deeper, right? When it's not about you. And we know this. But it's not about me. Have you ever been to a wedding where I always get a little bit nervous when the speeches come around? Do you get nervous when it's time for the speeches? You know, especially if some people have been drinking alcohol, it's you and we're way more nervous, right? You're like, oh, not that guy. I saw the champagne bottle get emptied pretty fast over there. But even when there's no alcohol included, it is nerve-wracking because not everybody's good at public speaking. And if someone starts to make the speech, when it starts even more awkward, when it starts to feel like the speech isn't about the people, but it starts to feel like it's about them, then you're like, oh. They start telling stories about themselves. And yeah, and you guys were there too, but remember when I, you're like, oh no, put the mic down. Anybody been through some awkward wedding speeches? And it translates into like the pulpit too, right? Like if you ever had sitting through a sermon where it felt like it was a little bit more for the pastor than it was for the congregation, you're just like, okay, do your thing, right? It's awkward. It's embarrassing. It's something's off there, isn't it? When you're like, this is like, I think you're getting more out of this than we are, Pastor, And Dave's not here, and he would never do that. So I'm just saying, I'm thankful to be in the pastor who knows where the point is. It's not about him. Isn't Dave, I just, like, in all seriousness, I'm so thankful for our pastor. All right. Yeah? Yes. Pastor Dave is just so good. And I'm not just saying that because I'm hoping he'll watch this later. But I am very thankful. But it's awkward when something that's meant to bless and honor and serve someone else becomes about the person. And there's something off. If someone's operating in a spiritual gift and you start to feel like this is just a little bit more about them than it is about any of us, that's a red flag. If you're, under some ministry somewhere, if you're, whether online or in person or abroad, it shouldn't be about the person who's serving. It's because it's if it's about you financing my thing so that I can do my thing because I'm the thing, just turn the channel, right? Stop sending the money because that's not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit God is about serving, not about self-aggrandizing. And so I know that there's ministers out there who take advantage of people who will send the money because they want you to feel like they're the thing, and they've got a really good thing going, so I should probably send them a bunch of money. As soon as you detect that, it's not on track. Because the Holy Spirit is about serving. It's about giving. It's not about me and my thing. It's about empowering others. No, it's about serving others, blessing others. Spiritual gifts are about serving. They're about other people. They're about God. They're not me. So it's for the common good. Use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I think that's exciting. I think it's exciting. I think it takes the pressure off of me. It keeps my pride in check. It also keeps my insecurity in check. Because I have a part to play in something significant and meaningful. I matter, but it's not about me. And I think probably everyone in here would say I identify more on the spectrum towards insecurity or pride. And this view of going, it's about all having a valuable contribution toward Jesus' ministry just centers us a bit more, doesn't it? Because you matter. You're needed. But you're not the point. And there's so much freedom in that. It frees you to just be yourself, to accept who you are, to love yourself, and serve from that heart. Because you are loved, you are necessary, you are needed. But you're not it. We're part of a body where each part does a piece of the work to serve the way Jesus wants us to serve. So how do I grow in my gifts? I start with surrendering to Jesus and I serve him. There's people here who probably haven't ever surrendered to Jesus. You've been coming to church, you're really intrigued, you like this, you're enjoying your time here, but maybe there's never been a moment where you're like, I'm in. This Jesus that we're talking about, this God, I need to surrender my life to him. That's where this starts, is saying, God, it can't be all about me. I want it to be about you because of what you've done, because of who you are. So bring me into your story. And if that's you today, I really want to encourage you to do that. Because his story is so much bigger and richer and deeper. So we join in his ministry to bless, serve, teach, help, administrate, prophesy, pray for healing. We get serving. We seek God. Tonight we're having an extended opportunity to come just seek God. And maybe you've Maybe you felt like you've been passionate about being a part of God's ministry on the earth, but that's cooled and faded. I want you to come tonight. Take some time. Have your heart stirred again to the good and beautiful kingdom of God, his good and beautiful work in the world that you can be a part of, that you can lean into, contribute, serve. Maybe you just want to remember what it feels like to be close to God again. Come and just take time and just linger in his presence. It's going to be a time for just inviting him to fill us with joy and expectation to serve him in the world. So it's about serving in ministry, and it's about loving constructively. Every passage of teaching on the spiritual gifts is connected to a teaching on love. So in Romans chapter 12, teaching about spiritual gifts, and then it goes on to talk about, well, I have them in order, actually. We'll start with Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And Romans chapter 12 says, over the course of chapter 12 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection. Bless those who persecute you. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. Conquer evil by doing good. That's on the heels of a Romans chapter 12 teaching on gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 obviously is followed by the famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So each of these passages is couched in teaching on love. So again, we see the heart of the usage of spiritual gifts in the church is not about me. It's about love. It's about serving. It's about laying my rights down for one another. It's about blessing. And I think that's maybe a shift for us. And when we think about things like prophecies being like an Old Testament angry word of correction, if you have the gift of prophecy, I just want to encourage you to use that gift of prophecy. But it doesn't have to sound like an angry Old Testament prophet to be prophecy. Because Jesus speaks in a myriad of different ways, doesn't he? It's about loving, constructive. It's about building. It's about building. It's about building, being constructive. Without love, the gifts of the Spirit make the church a place of religious pride and judgmentalism. With love, the gifts of the Spirit build the church into a people of God's life on earth. I want you to notice the differentiation. Without love, the spiritual gifts make the church a place where there's religious pride, judgmentalism. But with love, it builds a people that are full of the life of God and that build other people in the life of God. Right? We know church isn't a place. And it's not a place because of love. It's a people because of love. Because it's about relationships. It's about lives. It's about discipleship. It's about people's stories and their family and their kids. And it's about where they've been and where they're going and what they're experiencing. And the Holy Spirit wants you to engage in lovingly building people, lovingly serving people so that they're built up, so that they experience the grace of God through the grace that God's put in your life. We go and we serve and we give, and this, we're conduits of grace. We're conduits of grace. We do it at home, with our families. We bless our children. We call our adult children. They don't answer because nobody answers their phone anymore. So you text them and you ask them, can I call you? but we bless, right? We use our gifts when we gather as the church. Pastor Peter was just talking about children's ministry. You guys are children. Children. They just need wise, loving adults to bless them. You just need that. It's Jesus' ministry. It's Jesus' heart. We do it at work. When a coworker is sharing their heart, we do it when our manager, our boss needs somebody to step in, and we bless. Now, I want to be clear, right? Spiritual gifts aren't just things we're good at. They're not just our talents. They're not just a ministry position we have. But they're a divinely empowered grace that builds the church, that builds the kingdom of God. And it's in you. It's in you. I'm going to call up the team to come and lead us in a closing song. But we're going to have the prayer team come at the same time. If you're on the prayer team, could you come and stand at the front right now? And I want to give you an opportunity to respond in prayer. Because there's really good invitation that Jesus is calling us into. Serving him, blessing others. So again, I want to go back. If you're here and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, maybe you want to do that today. You want to come and talk to someone here at the front and just say, I think I'm ready to really just surrender my life. I believe Jesus is who he says he was, died and rose again. I want to be part of that story, not just my own. And if you want to just come for any other need you have, if you need healing or just prayer for any other burden that's in your life, come. And if you need help accepting yourself and just valuing the things God has put into you, or maybe you just want to be experiencing God's closeness again so that you can serve in his love and power. Whatever it might be, I want to invite you to come. Let me close in a word of prayer as we transition to that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for calling us to serve and go and be a part of your story. Lord, I pray you would help us not to be uninformed about our gifts, but to know the way you're calling us and actively experimenting and serving you and actively stepping out, actively risking, actively putting ourselves out there to bless and serve. And I just thank you that your spirit will meet us there, will help us. And Lord, for those of us here today who are just need your touch, Lord, I just pray you would just your kind touch of healing and comfort would just meet each heart. We need you, God. We need you, Jesus. So whether you want to stand or sit, we're going to respond in worship and prayer for the next few minutes.